If you've heard the word strike circling around conversations regarding the Long Beach Unified School District, then you probably know that several members of the California School Employee Association are not happy with their current salary, and the association has rejected the increase offered by the district. The district says giving CSEA workers the 7% raise they're requesting means they would receive a bigger raise than the teachers. But that entirely depends on how you look at it. So we are going to break that down on this episode of The Word on Long Beach.
Analyzing now.
Watch this. This.
You're listening to The Word on Long Beach. And now, Jackie Ray.
Welcome back to The Word on Long Beach. I'm your host, Jackie Ray. Now, if you have children in school or if you work with the Long Beach Unified School District, you are well aware of how many people outside of teachers it takes to keep things running and running smoothly. From nutrition workers to bus drivers, custodians, maintenance staff, landscapers, and instructional aides, there are a lot of people. There are roughly 3,000 people who are involved in helping to educate our children. But for those who are not teachers, the process has become somewhat frustrating as they have been in salary negotiations since March of 2020. Some of that does come down to semantics, because in this case, half a dozen on one side does not necessarily equal six on the other. So let's start with the main point of contention. The district does not want to give CSEA workers a bigger raise than the teachers received back in April. Superintendent Jill Baker issued a video statement to that regard on January 24th. Here is a portion of that video.
To reiterate, the key proposal that remains at issue is salary. The district has offered CSEA the same raise that was accepted by the Teachers Association of Long Beach. Back in April, the district offered a competitive proposal that included a combination of ongoing, retroactive raises totaling a 5% increase in compensation. That offer was rejected by CSEA. Our 5% increase offer includes an ongoing 3% raise retroactive to the 1920 and 2021 school years, and one-time retroactive raises totaling 2%. CSEA has asked for a significantly higher raise totaling 3% ongoing for 1920 and 4% ongoing for 2020-21.
So for clarity, that 2% raise is not a raise. It's a one-time bonus. It does not affect your yearly salary. And I spoke to Superintendent Jill Baker, and she said this is something they have done before, and it is not uncommon. But for those of us who have ever received a bonus, we know that that is great for that month, but it doesn't really mean much after that. It's not something that is going to help you offset the cost of living throughout the year. So let's try to break this down in some simple math. Both Superintendent Jill Baker and CSEA President Gilbert Bonilla Jr. agree that the vast majority of CSEA employees are part-time. Jill Baker estimates that number to be somewhere between 300 and 500. Gilbert Bonilla estimates that number to be right around 60 to 70%. All part-time employees have to pay a portion of their health care benefits based on full-time hours. So what does that mean? A full-time employee works 40 hours per week, 80 hours every 2 weeks. So to make the math easy, let's just say that health insurance costs $300 per month. So a full-time employee doesn't have to pay that, so it's not a problem. But as CSEA President Gilbert Bonilla points out, some part-time employees are only making between $10,000 to $12,000 per year. So that means they are making $916.67 per month before taxes. A CSEA employee making minimum wage working 3.8 hours per day for 10 months will make $12,392.75 per year. And since they only work 19 hours per week, they would have to pay 47.5% of their health insurance. If that insurance is $300 per month, they would have to pay $142.50 per month, which means before taxes, they are bringing home $1,096.78 per month. I do want to pause here for a second, because while that gross monthly income is alarming to me, I want to point out something Jill Baker said during our conversation. She said she was very proud that CSEA workers in Long Beach made more than other districts. So I looked it up, and according to CareerBliss, which tracks the average salaries across the country, I can see that she's actually 100% correct. In fact, on average, CSEA employees in Long Beach Unified are making 4% more than their counterparts throughout the country. But is saying that they make 4% more than they would make anywhere else in the country, a point that we should applaud when some of them are living below the poverty line. But let me put that into more perspective. Before starting here at the Long Beach Post, I was a freelance journalist, which meant my income was not, it was not steady and I couldn't count on it. So to supplement that, I became a property manager and I did that for years. It was great because it supplemented my income and 9 times out of 10, I got my apartment for free. It was literally the only way that I could afford rent in most cases. But I say all that because I'm very, very familiar with the requirements that go into most property management companies. I'm familiar with the systems they use. So based on that experience, I can tell you, unless you get lucky and you find a very gracious mom and pop, 99% of apartment communities anywhere in California are going to require that you provide proof of income showing that you make 3 times the rent in order to qualify. On top of that, legally, you can only have 2 people per room and 1 person in the living room as far as occupancy. So for example, if you have a studio, you can only have 2 people in that studio. If you have a 1-bedroom, you can have 3 people. And if you have a 2-bedroom, you can have 5. And yes, as much as people don't think that they should, children count as a person. So if you have 2 adults and a child, you cannot live in a studio. You would have to upgrade to a 1-bedroom. So a vast majority of apartment communities in California, especially here in Southern California, also use a system that's called Rent Cafe to process their rent. It's also what allows most people to pay their rent online. So because of that, it's easy to gather data. So based on the data collected from Rent Cafe, the average price for a studio in Long Beach is just over $1,700. Now, if you're lucky, you can get a 300 square foot studio for around $1,300. But to qualify for that 300 square foot, $1,300 studio, you would have to make $3,900 per month. So let's take Viola Mae Bledsoe, for example. She's an instructional aide, which means she works with our special needs children in the district. When I spoke to her, she said she's been with the district for 30 years and makes just $36,000 per year. While Viola Mae brings home $3,000 per month before taxes, she would only qualify for an apartment that is $1,000 per month. And remember, that 300 square foot studio is over $1,300 per month. She said she was renting a room in a home where she was paying $700 per month, but when they sold that home, she ended up homeless for a short period of time, in part because of the requirement that she makes 3 times the rent. So I believe this is where the frustration lies for a lot of CSEA workers. It comes down to parity, meaning the district does not want to give CSEA workers a bigger raise than what the teachers received. But from a monetary aspect and for the majority of CSEA workers, that wouldn't happen. For a CSEA worker who is part-time making $12,392 per year, a 7% increase would total $867.44 per year. They aren't even going to feel that. In Viola's case, it would amount to $2,520 per year, bringing her total salary to $38,520. According to Career Bliss, the average income for teachers in the district in 2021 was $65,000. A 5% raise for teachers in this range would equal a yearly raise of $3,250. Gilbert Bonilla believes the district can give the 7% raise to CSEA workers because the district is very well funded when it comes to reserves. So if you don't know, legally, the district is only required to have 3% in reserves. They are well over 20%. According to Yumi Takashi, who is the Chief Business and Financial Officer for the district, the 2021-2022 ending balance for the reserves is estimated to be $348.2 million. They are only required to have $22 million. So they have $326.2 million more in reserves than they are required to have. It's also important to note that Superintendent Jill Baker said the district is not eager to give that bigger raise because the district also saw a 6% decline in student enrollment over the last 2 years, which effectively means they have lost $42 million in revenue. She also noted that a lot of families who live below the poverty line are taking their children and leaving the city, which impacts their ability to get supplemental revenue. If I'm being honest, this makes no sense to me. But it does explain the mass resignation we have seen nationwide. According to the Labor Department, more than 4.5 million people voluntarily left their jobs in November of 2021. most of those being lower paying jobs. So it does speak to how people are just fed up with working day in and day out and not being able to afford a basic quality of life. This again is why it doesn't make sense to me. You can go on to Indeed right now. You can go online and you can look up In-N-Out Burger. Not kidding, they make $17.25 per hour. It's full time, it's 12 months a year. It offers paid time off, 401k, stock options, and ongoing training to prepare you to level up in case you want to get management and get a better job and earn more money. So I get it though. Maybe working at a fast food place does not have the same ring to it as saying, I work for the Long Beach Unified School District. But is the goal to work for an organization that has a name that other people will respect, or work for an organization that will pay you a livable wage and give you constant opportunities to earn more? And this is not beyond the realm of possibility. According to the Atlanta Federal Reserve Bank, a lot of lower paid employees are quitting and looking for higher jobs because they know that is the fastest way to increase their yearly salary. So for me, making this kind of move seems like the obvious choice. So I had to ask Viola May, who is an instructional aide with the district, and she's been there for over 30 years and right now only makes $36,000 per year. Why aren't you just moving on, and have you at least considered it?
Not really. My heart is with special ed. That is my drive. It has always been my drive with special ed. Don't mess with my kids. All the kids that go to school in Long Beach, whether they're special ed or not, are my children, and that's where my heart is. So, and I'm 65. Mm-hmm. So
you don't look it.
So there's not, and I've been here 30 years. So there's not a whole lot of places that are really going to hire somebody that's 65 mm-hmm. years old, even if I had left a few years ago.
CSEA President Gilbert Bonilla seemed to echo that sentiment.
I had considered it at one time because I was seeing there was a lot of jobs out of state mm-hmm. that were making more money. But I've also been here, again, I'm 28 years and I'm close to retirement, maybe another two or three years. So for me at this point, I think I want to retire too. I have this passion for helping people because, I've been there where I've been stepped on and railroaded. So I think that's a big passion of mine to help others not go through what I had to go through.
Also important to note that while Gilbert Bonilla and Viola May are definitely fighting to get a higher percentage in raises for the CSEA employees, not all of them feel the same way. Paul Harris is a retired grounds equipment operator, and I had the opportunity to speak to him over the phone. He says he and his wife, Malika Harris, who is a senior accounting assistant, both make around $63,000 per year, and this delay is affecting his retirement and, of course, her raise. He said, quote, a lot of people don't agree with him, but he gets 20 to 30 cronies to show up with him at a board meeting, and then everyone thinks everyone is against the district, and it's not true. He went on to say if a teacher gets a 2% raise, they may get $2,000 a month. And should a position in the district that only requires an 8th grade education get $2,000 per month raise or just get the same percentage? He also pointed out that CSEA workers can test to get better positions and thereby make more money. But Jill Baker pointed out that it is not that easy. She says the guidelines to get these higher positions are very grueling. So what's the solution here? Do we continue to have a mindset like Paul Harris that says, you know what, if you don't have the education, you can't really ask for this type of raise? But is it fair to say that that means that somebody doesn't deserve a livable wage? Jill Baker also says a strike would violate the CSEA's contract, but the district also has around 400 open CSEA positions, which are, of course, lower paying, which again makes no sense when there are positions that some of us would not consider prestigious, like working at In-N-Out or even on Indeed right now. There's a position at the Marriott cleaning rooms for $19.25 per hour. This is already more money than what a lot of people are making right now. So if that's the case and striking is not an option, what happens when that 400 number of vacant positions grows to 500 or even 600 because people get fed up and go find other jobs? To avoid that, Gilbert says he is urging the district to do what he and other members in CSEA think is just the right thing to do.
We provide a lot of services, a lot of quality services. People go above and beyond. You know, you treat somebody as you would treat yourself. Where's that 16%? Mm-hmm. or don't take it.
Right.
If you see everybody else is struggling, it's nice when you have a house and it's clean and you have food and you have gas and you have a car provided, mm-hmm. and you have a Cadillac, medical insurance, you're taken care of. But what about the mass? I mean, who are we really serving here?
Like it or not, the bottom line is it's statistically proven that poverty increases crime. So can we really have a conversation about how crime is increasing in our community if we are not willing to have a conversation about increasing salaries? Because while we are talking about Long Beach Unified School District right now, this is a conversation that really needs to happen nationwide. And it will be interesting to see how all of this plays out. So we're going to keep an eye on this for you. So make sure you log on to lbpost.com daily to see how this story develops. And if you have any thoughts on today's show, or if you have story ideas that you think would be great for The Word on Long Beach, you can email me at jackie@lbpost.com. You can DM me on Instagram or Twitter. My handle is @JackieRayTV. Or you can share your opinions and story ideas on our Word on Long Beach hotline. That number is 562-379-6736. Again, that number is 562-379-6736. Until next time, I'm Jackie Ray. If you have to speak a word, make sure it's a good one.